Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. Welcome back to another Mailbag Monday. We are loaded for bear today. Got some great questions. And Mike, our producer, is here with us and probably going to have a few words to say as well. So, Angel, let's just jump in.
All right. Let's start here, Joe. I am probably getting this question in too late, but what are your thoughts about Halloween in general? I grew up in a very strict house, and my parents would not let us have anything to do with it. And boy, do I have a history with that one.
Well, I grew up in a very conservative family, very religious family, went to church every time the doors opened. Mm-hmm. But we lived in the country, way out in the middle of nowhere. We didn't trick-or-treat that we had trick-or-treat with. So my mom would buy us costumes, and we would drive about 15 miles into town where an aunt and uncle lived in really packed neighborhoods. We'd go every Halloween to their neighborhood and collect candy. We did that every year, and it was a great time. But you know, today I know things have changed. It's a different world. We just came from one great church we were at, you know, big old church, and they celebrate Halloween. I said, you know, it's a great time to witness to a community. So they say invite people over and make coffee and have donuts and have plenty of good candy, not cheap stuff, and allow the people to, you know, be a blessing to the community. Let them know you're there. Hey, man, we need to go to that house. They always have good stuff.
Yeah, and they did an amazing outreach because they say that's the one time of year that everybody's willing to open their door to.
Yes.
So it's a time to get your, especially for their small groups. They're doing it as a big outreach to their small groups.
Well, I think about when I studied in college, I was doing Christian history about what the Christians were like during the Roman days. Man, Rome's taking over everything, and so Christians went to public schools. The kids went to Roman schools, learned about Roman gods, Roman theology. But it didn't bother their kids. If you read in historical things, they knew the truth so well, they didn't mind hearing a lie. They knew the truth. So they didn't care about studying Roman gods or Greek gods or whatever. No, we know the one God. So teach us whatever you want. The same thing when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into captivity. They sent him to school for 3 years, learned the Chaldean religion, Chaldean language. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a problem. The only thing Daniel would not do is eat the food he wasn't allowed to eat. I'll learn your religion, I'll learn your language, but I cannot eat that food. And, of course, that turned out to be really good, too. So I tell people, you know, it depends on what part of the country you live in. We used to always, we'd have a big thing at church. For 10 years, I was on staff with a great church here in town. And, man, we'd have about 2,500 people pack that place out on the Halloween night. We have a big, about 2.5 hour event. We bring in live music. And we had poster contests, dressed up contests. So people come in dressed as Bible characters. We had people come in. One guy came in, this John the Baptist, and he had his head on a platter. You know, it'd been chopped off. He's on a plate, and he had a cloth thing around. Like, who are you? So I'm John the Baptist. I lost my head. And it's very creative. So we found ways to make it creative. It was really a hallowed holiday for years before Halloween ever took over. But now Halloween's a big thing. We start celebrating it, you know, a month and a half early. You go into any store, and all of a sudden the costumes are out, and the demons and the ugly faces and the devils and whatever. And so because of my theology background, I know that the devil's the most beautiful thing God ever made. Matter of fact, it says the kings of the earth will stand at the judgment, and they'll ask God, is that the devil? He said, what? Is that the devil? God said, yes. So where's his horns? I said, what? Where's his horns? So he didn't have any horns. Well, where's his tail? God says he has no tail. Lucifer is the single most beautiful thing God ever made, and he still is. He's real pretty. And so what's the thing with all the horror movies? Well, it's a lie. The devil's lied. He's lied from the beginning. And so trying to tell you kids the truth, you know, I don't want to dress you up like some demon, but I'm going to have fun on Halloween. Yeah. I'm not going to make a religion out of it and, you know, turn off all the lights and lock all the doors, you know. And so you got to learn how to be a part of something without just jumping eyeball in the middle of it. So everybody does it a little different everywhere, but and I know I've got a big family. Some go into, you know, the pumpkins are all lit up on the porch and everything. And we did. We grew pumpkins. We make designs. The kids had contests. I had six kids. Who can do the best pumpkin? So I had six pumpkins lit up on the porch up there. I said, you celebrating Halloween? No, we love pumpkins. I love pumpkin pie. We just cut them out and decorate them. So just don't make too big a thing out of it. I know we grew up in some many different communities.
Well.
Just jump in anywhere, sugar. Mike, you want to jump in somewhere? Well, evidently, I talked too long evidently on that one.
Well, I was just going to say, when I was a little kid, up to when I was 7, when my parents got saved, we celebrated Halloween big time. Then when my parents got saved, we went to the other extreme. You could not celebrate it at all. And the only thing that I remember as a kid was being the only kid at school the next day that didn't have any candy.
Yep.
Seriously.
Man, what kind of deal is this, man? What happened?
It was not cool at all. And it was sad. Even now I think about it, that was kind of sad. So,
pay attention, parents. Pay attention.
So when I had children later, I just thought, you know, to the pure, all things are pure. My
yes.
kids have no idea. They just know they're going to get candy.
Yep.
That's it. And so I would, Nicole says the only outfit I could ever come up with was a cowboy, cowgirl. So every year, she even asked me, this is so funny, she even asked me this last week, are you dressing up for Halloween? Which I have no reason, absolutely none, to dress up. But I said, well, you know, I only have that one outfit, the cowgirl, and because I have a hat. That's it. And so, but I think sometimes we go too hard to an extreme, and it does. It can affect you. So it did. It did. It bothered me as a kid, not because of the devil thing, just because of I was kind of left out thing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's something that, you know, you got to have balance in,
you know,
everything.
We're in the world. We're not of the world.
Yeah.
We're the salt. We're the light of this planet. We're to be a blessing, leave everybody better when we find them. And that includes Christmas, New Year's, I mean, Easter, Halloween.
It's right.
Like, you still be a part, you know, just don't get involved in all the demonic stuff. We're not doing that. Because you devil worship? No, we're just dressed up cowboys, cowgirls, and super people. And I used to love dressing up Superman. I didn't even have a cape. I just had a big red towel I'd tie around my neck. I'm Superman. I didn't even have a man, but I'm Superman. I got a bag. Load this puppy up.
When I was at my dad's church, I had this lady come out on the step. We had a hallelujah. You don't call it Halloween.
Yes.
It
hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah.
So this lady came out, and she accosted me on the stairs, and she said, you know, how dare, you know, I've been going to this church and stuff, and here we are celebrating the devil's holiday and stuff, and these kids are partaking in worshiping the devil when they're out, you know, this stuff, and just going off, and I'm, the thought hit me, and I said to her, I said, okay, I said, do you have any family that's not born again? And she said, yeah. I said, so do you ever see them at Christmas time? Yeah. I said, do you open presents together? Yeah. And I said, so what you're saying is when your unsafe family is opening presents that they're worshiping God.
Ooh.
It gets deep now.
Yeah.
And that's the day I knew for sure I was brilliant.
Mike, cut the mic. No, but seriously, it is true. We sometimes major on such minors.
I know.
So I would say enjoy the day. We're not worshiping Satan. We're not celebrating his day.
No.
We're just enjoying some candy that's free.
Yeah. Anytime you can get people together, I mean, for the first several years after I got married, when we had kids, up to Sarah was, I think, 5 or 6, we never celebrated Christmas. I didn't buy a Christmas tree. That's demonic.
What?
I'm not putting no tree. I'm not worshiping no tree. So I had no tree. There was no Santa Claus. My daughter said, who is that? I said, that's St. Nicholas. That's Father Abraham. No, I call him Father Abraham. I said, that's Father Abraham. Well, Daddy's on every street corner with a big pot. No, that's Father Abraham ringing the bell. And I lied. I'm a Christian father lying to my children. And so we went to this Christmas party and at my company, and they're all unbelievers except for us. And they said, Brother Joe, would you like to lead in prayer? I said, okay, I'll lead in prayer. Would you like to pray for the food? Sure, I'll pray for the food. And they actually had bourbon balls. I didn't know what a bourbon ball was. It was chocolate. I love chocolate. And they had these homemade bourbon balls. Oh, man, I popped about 12 of those things down and said, man, these things are good. And the guy, the owner, he was a really friendly guy, but he's older. And he wasn't saved. He said, man, you like that bourbon, don't you? I said, what? I don't know what bourbon is. Were you popping those balls? So anyhow, they had a Santa Claus come at the last of the party, give gifts to all the kids. And the kids, and what it was a big mug. It was a Christmas mug. It was a Santa Claus mug.
Mm-hmm.
Every kid got the same gift. Well, my daughter's the first one to rip it open. Ooh, look, Dad, it's a Father Abraham mug. It's a Father Abraham. And everybody just stared at me. And one guy sitting next to me said, we didn't know y'all were Jewish. I said, well, we're not. We're Christians. And so when I was driving home, I said, okay, forget it. So I told my kids the story of St. Nicholas and Santa Claus, the true story. I said, it's a great time of the year, and we all dress up. And you know, he didn't have a whole lot of reindeer. I think he had a mule or a donkey that pulled that sled, but it's still a great deal. So we celebrated. So now people come to our house. We have a huge Christmas tree. It's decked out. I like the lights, man. I love the – it's just pretty. God made the trees, and they're real pretty. So I put one up.
And we listen to Christmas music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
This morning, early this morning.
I know. I heard it.
I was shaving. I got, who was that? Johnny Mathis was singing, and then Dean Martin was singing. And
all right, let's go on to the next question.
Did we answer
Anyways,
the question?
Yes, I think you should just enjoy the
just
day.
Just enjoy the
and,
day.
And
don't make a religion out of it.
Yeah. Let your kids dress up as something cute.
Yes.
All right, Joe. My wife and I have been married for almost 2 years now. My question has to do with the expression, happy wife, happy life. I am really not trying to be selfish, but it does seem like I am a lot more concerned about keeping her happy than the other way around. It's hard for me to explain, but there's obviously something there because no one's ever heard of happy husband expression.
I haven't seen that bumper sticker, no. Well, I'll let you jump in first.
Oh, thanks. I could have jumped in on the Halloween one easier. well, that is true that we do hear that expression quite a bit.
Yes. I want my wife happy. I do. I'm a husband. What do you want? I want a happy wife. I do. But I'm not Santa Claus stuck upside down in the chimney. I'm not the class clown. I'm not bozo. You're going to get your own happiness. Happiness comes from God.
Yeah.
You know, and not from me. I'm not the class clown for you. If you're not happy, that's your problem. You got to get that from God.
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit unfair because we do express that a whole lot. And, you know, a lot of times men don't express what they want
we're
everything. Because it is easier to stay quiet because they want peace, you know, and just to check out. Let's watch football or do whatever. But the truth is, it is important for both parties to be happy. It's not cool to have a one-sided relationship. I mean, there's an ebb and flow in life.
Yes, there is.
So sometimes one partner will tend to give more than the other and love more than the other. But I think for men, the thing that matters most to them in general is respect and honor.
Yes.
And sex.
Yes. That's the top three.
And
women need security. They need affection. They need honesty. The needs are different.
Yeah.
And so when we get married, we think, well, she needs what I need. No, she doesn't. She needs something different. And so my job, like God, I want to make sure her needs are met. Not my needs. I'm not worried about me. My job's to meet her needs. That's what we joke all the time that a wedding ceremony is really a covenant. And you can't have a covenant like somebody dies. So at a wedding ceremony, you're promising before God and witnesses, what are you going to do? I'm going to spend the rest of my life making this person happy.
But that doesn't just hold for the man to do that.
No,
it's equally as important for the woman. And I have seen, I have seen men really work hard and then women not make as much effort. that's not fair when that's a basic need that he has.
Well, you got three parts of every human. You go through the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Most people get married to the flesh. I saw flesh. I dated flesh. I kissed flesh. I hugged flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I like that flesh. Well, there's more to them than flesh. You need to know what they're thinking, what's important
right.
to them, what are their priorities, you know, what do they like, what they not like, what will they do, what will they not do? Do they have
right.
standards in their life? Then are they born again? Do
mm-hmm.
they fear God? Because that's where everything starts. The fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. You know, they want to hang out with God. Do they worship? Do they pray? Is God their number one thing in their life? If you're the number one thing in their life's not going to go good. If you are the most important person in your spouse's life, we're going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
God's got to be number one. So you want to find somebody. I used to say it this way. You want to fall in love with somebody that loves God more than you do. I had two ladies come to a seminar we were at in Baton Rouge one time. They both had lost their husbands that outlived them, and they were joking. They came to the marriage seminar. I said, well, we're looking for spouses again. We'd really like to get remarried. And they said, but we'd like you to add something to the what you just taught. And it was a two-day seminar. I said, you know, about the communication, the money, and the sex, and the children. I said, here's another thing. You want to marry somebody that loves God more than you do. Mm-hmm. So our first two husbands were great men. They provided for us. They worked hard. They were good husbands. But we had to drag them to church. We went to church many times by ourselves. We went to the prayer meeting by ourselves. We read our Bible by ourselves. Mm-hmm. Good men, but they weren't chasing God.
Right.
So if we ever had that to do over again, the first priority would be, mm-hmm. do you love God more than I do? And
yeah.
That's just a good standard right there.
It really is. And listen, if you haven't read Joe's book, You Don't Find a Great Marriage, You Build One, that's a good resource to go to. And actually, do together. I know somebody that just purchased a book, and her husband are reading it together and doing a little study. Or if you don't like to read, there is the MP3 series as well. You can get it at joemcgee.com.
Just remember, truth will set you free.
Yeah.
When you're married, you got to be able to be truthful with one another. Well, that upsets me, and I didn't like that. And mm-hmm. why do you do that? You got to be able to talk. Two ears and one mouth. That's a math thing.
That is. Hey, guys, thank you so much for being a part of today. We love you very much. Partners, thank you for making this possible.
Yes,
if you'd like to join us in helping to keep this going, please check it out. It's under the Give column at JoeMcGeeMinistries.com or JoeMcGee.com, either one. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Bless you. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.